Hey, everybody. Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling, here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it's about time to have no escape going on, which happens this Sunday at the Silverton Casino at 5 p.m. Man, it's like you blink an eye and everything's just like, here we are, March, no escape.
It's funny because it was like everything was 2 months away. Mania, we got 2 months, and it's like, oh shit, it's 5 weeks away. Oh shit, we got no escape in 3 days, and we got the ground zero. And it was like, you know, just this week, you know, we got the thing in San Diego, and it's like, oh, that's 2 weeks away. Yeah. And, you know, they weren't able to get Mysterio. So now I've been in contact trying to talk to Booker T about possibly hosting that event, and called him Tuesday. And of course, it was NXT day. So he, you know, he didn't answer, but he messaged me quickly and said, hey, I'll get back in touch with you tomorrow, which was yesterday, but he still didn't. So I had to call him again. So he's like, I'll call you today. And then I've been off the phone with Cross because he just got home. He was hanging out with Dracula in Transylvania for the last few days, wrestling his shows there. Nice. Said it's a interesting market and trying to get things with natural born killers. And it's funny because some of the people that we need to go through is actually Josh Barnett, who's running Bloodsport.
Bloodsport, right.
So he represents Shayna Baszler and Royce and a couple others. And, you know, Royce was like, oh, I don't think I'll be able to do that. You know, Josh, you know, Josh is helping facilitate us getting some people for his. And it's like, yeah, I think we're okay. You know, it's just another show. It's similar to Bloodsport and type of a hybrid MMA meets wrestling type event, but we did that in 2017, I believe, or 18 with Cross, way before Josh Barnett got involved. Obviously, they're the biggest version of that, but it's like to turn down bookings. You know, right now we just announced Gresham and Simon Gotch, and obviously Cross and Bad Dude Tito, and we're waiting on Jacob Austin Young. He just got back to Japan, so he's seeing if he's going to be available. And, you know, we have our crew of guys, the Brett the Threats and the Robbie Litz and TJP. He trained yesterday for us, and he's accepted the bookings for Mecca and Natural Born Killers, so he'll be on the show. And nice. We're also, you know, reaching out, my guy Stu Stone trying to put in the word with Zilla Fatu. So we're talking. There's nobody off the board. Matt Riddle. You know, I think people. I talked to Cross today. I said, you know, you are the Fatu killer, being that the last Mecca before this, the one that we recently did, he wrestled Jacob Fatu at the Silver Nugget. So maybe right. Zilla would like to exact revenge on the Fatu family.
Yeah. True, right?
And then I tried to get the Ultimate Dream Match. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I got called by the representatives of Ernest the Cat Miller. And I wasn't really thinking about it, and I loved Ernest the Cat Miller. He was one of my favorites, you know. And then somebody mentioned something, and I was like, oh, shit, that's like the dream match for like 90s wrestling fans. Ernest the Cat Miller at Natural Born Killers versus Glacier.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that would be like a super cool. And Ray Lloyd is the guy who played Glacier.
Yeah.
And I met him.
Really good guy, too. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, he's one of the top five people that I met in the wrestling business. You know, met him at the Nitro Grill many years ago. Wasn't even on the card, wasn't even booked to be there. He took his own flight because a Make-A-Wish kid wanted to meet Glacier, and he basically spent like, you know, a day and a half with this kid, took him around everywhere to the wrestling show, all around Vegas, and was just a super nice guy. and I ran into him at the AEW show, not the this recent one, but the one about 6 months ago. I think it was at Resorts World or Virgin, one of the two. And, you know, touch base. I'm like, yeah, I met you in the thing, blah, 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 because he's still on my friends list of Facebook. So I messaged him. I'm like, hey, you're going to happen to be in Vegas Mania Week, because I was ready to pitch the match. And he's like, oh, it doesn't look like it right now. I'm like, well, let me know. I have this idea of you versus Ernest the Cat Miller. I think, you know, that would be a match that would make Joey Janela's spring break very proud.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's better than the Sandman wrestling the Invisible Man for his last match. So,
yeah, you know, so. But yeah, there's so many options of where we're going. You know, I pitched my idea of the Pied Piper Killer Cross being right at the bridge on Allegiant with the megaphone, kind of like DX, and right, basically being the Pied Piper and leading like 500 people into the HyperX inside the Luxor straight from WrestleMania Saturday night to come watch him.
If you really want to burn bridges, you have them do it from the area where they have the post show set up.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
Megaphone from there on TV.
Oh, wherever. You know, I know Kevin's usually pretty open to do some, like, to me, that is a big viral moment that all of a sudden we have the cameras filming Cross walking 500 people into the HyperX arena.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah. it's just, yeah, there's so much going on with it. And again, that's the Full Tilt weekend. This is what we're looking at on Wednesday, including the Gabe Sapolsky seminar here at 10 a.m. And you're also looking at BRCW, CCW, and CWC. Boy, I hope the wrestlers don't get confused on which show they're on between CCW and CWC, because, you know.
Well, if somebody has dyslexia, they might show up to the wrong place.
I'm going to say, you know, some of the kids are geniuses, so.
Yes, you know. And, you know, speaking of the Gabe Sapolsky seminar, Gabe called me yesterday, and he needed talent for extra work for Raw and SmackDown. And who did he call? Called Joe DeFalco. He said, hey, I need three guys and I need a woman. What do you got? So he went through me, thankfully. And then I messaged him back. I'm like, okay, so do you need me to contact Bodie and Brittany, who you've used in the past? Or he's like, oh, no, I already talked with them. So it's in addition to. And I reached out, and we've gotten a few of our guys, once again, that will be doing extra work for WWE Raw and SmackDown. I just reached out to a couple more because they were short, so they needed one more for Raw and one more for SmackDown. So, again, that's part of, you know, making sure that you're part of that seminar, part of the tryout. Gabe, right. I got him guys that were part of the seminar last year that have risen the ranks here in FSW. Jaden Cole, the Mariachis, you know, and they got booked. So, you know, I'm very proud to be that he reached out to me because, again, there's 1,000 people that are going to be out here and he doesn't have to pick FSW guys. And it's like, you know, hopefully you younger talent understand the value that you're getting from being part of FSW. And when I need help and we need to help set up the cage at Friday at the school to put it where it becomes quicker to do on Sunday and we need hands and you're available, you come out and you help because, you know, that's what I've done. You know, the Mariachis have always been the guys to drive the guardrails and take their truck and come to this, to my house to get it. And not only rising the ranks and they're you know, they're busy, man. They're doing good things, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I want to reward people, but you got to be good too. You know, I can do things for you, but it becomes up to you to put yourself in that position. If you're not good enough, just because you help doesn't mean I'm getting you extra work or leaning toward that. And there's a lot of good people because, you know, you hear me bitch a lot because there's a lot of people that don't, that if there's anything that doesn't immediately benefit them, and they don't give a fuck. But now all of a sudden everybody wants to be at the HyperX doing shit because they all want to be on that show. And it's like, well, no offense, but you guys should want to be on every show or any show. Doesn't matter if it's the HyperX. It's like the only way you're going to continually progress is become a main roster talent. And it's your job to bump a Bret the Threat who left for a while but came back and was put in a good position because he fit what we needed. Suavecito left, came back, fit what we needed. You know, a lot of people would have been like, oh, yeah, they'll never be used again. Oh, they'll never be tag champs. You know, good, you know, do your business.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
somebody needs to arrive from the airport, make that effort. Take that extra step. If you can't do anything that benefits only you, well, you're not doing nothing for me. I'm giving you a place to train. That's what I'm doing. I'm already ahead of the game with you.
Right. Well,
how are you making yourself valuable to me? Well, you don't help too much, but you sold 14 tickets. That helps.
Sure.
You know, Dave Mazzani's good. He's a great dude, and he sells tickets, and he's been doing this for 10 years. So he's immediately better than most of the younger talent.
Right. So, well, and in his case too, you know, C4 benefits from that now because he's getting an opportunity to learn from Dave by tagging with him.
Right. You know? But C4 wouldn't have gotten that opportunity if he wasn't helpful.
Right. Exactly.
He wasn't somebody who made himself available to set up the rings when we needed it and be at the shows and sell tickets. And he was deserving of that opportunity. You know, was he the best possibility for a partner with Dave as we discussed the first responders? Yeah, because that idea kind of had the idea of C4 in there because he was doing good things on Future Shock. Dave became more available, did his fire stuff, you know, became a firefighter, and now he had more time to devote to train. And now he wanted to be on as many shows as possible. And then that's when we kind of had the idea, and then it got all put together, a group of us. And Remy had the name First Responders that, man, I can't believe I didn't think of that one first. But fantastic name. And then they embraced it and they got matching gear and they're working on different things. So it's like, but they've earned themselves positions by performing and selling tickets and, you know, people giving a shit. You know, we did Future Shock last week and Dave didn't sell any tickets. Well, hopefully he's gearing up for the HyperX show. He had to pull out of the pre-show match against the Chingon Cartel on Sunday. Major stuff happening at the fireplace, at the firehouse for work, and he can't make it. So now the decision becomes who's going to wrestle the Chingon Cartel in the pre-show. And I'm kind of leaving it open because there's a couple of options, and there's one team that I know, one of the younger guys. He won't be there to help, so they won't get the spot.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh well.
And again, that's no escape, and it's happening this coming Sunday at 5 p.m. from the Silverton. You can also catch it on the Title Match Network if you're not in town or can't get out to the Silverton. You know, you just mentioned you know, a bunch of different names. And, you know, got some matches going on with some of these guys here. All right, so Escape the Cage. It's a six-man scramble match. You got Shogun, and you got Koa, you got Bodhi, and you got Mondo and Ricky Tenacious, and apparently the very popular Invisible Man who's wrestling.
Yes, I guess this is his warm-up match before he wrestles the Sandman next month in Vegas.
And basically just a six-man scramble to who escapes the cage first, right? Over the top?
Yeah, over the top. Can't go through the door. That would be easy. So it's going to be interesting to see. And then we think we have a good surprise for the, you know, the final participant. So,
yep.
What did Bean say?
Bean's got a little bit of a family situation going on at the moment, but he's going to be back next month, hopefully. And
well, that means he definitely won't be he won't be the mystery last participant.
unless it's the ultimate swerve. Hey, Beans, yeah. Come on the show at 11 a.m.
I heard he has a couple of Travis Scott appearances that he has to make as a stunt double. So I'm not sure.
Right. I've always thought steel cage matches to me, you know, always should be over the top or through the door. So I love that concept of putting six guys in there.
Yeah, I don't think we've done one since we did it at Diversion when we came back.
Right.
Where Danny Limelight was so impressive. He got Ice Williams the next day and was the ultimate dud.
Hey, man, you know, shout out to Danny.
He bounced back strong, though. He bounced back. Yeah. I was very disappointed in that match with him and Ice. He knows. I talk about it to him all the time.
But you know he had a pretty good moment this past week with being recognized by Booker T's company down there in Texas. So
yeah, no, Danny's awesome. You know, hopefully we'll have him back sometime soon. You know, he's trying to pitch back the tag team stuff with 5150. So we'll see. You know. Danny was supposed to be at the San Diego Rumble on the 21st, but he had to fly east. He had a movie role, so
sure.
He's unable to make it. So, you know, there's those guys, the Titos, the Chase, you know, people that we used in the past that we really like and just sometimes not able to get. You know, I got Tito working for me three times in less than a month. He'll be at the Rumble with Che, which we haven't seen in a while. Love that tag team. Nice. And then, you know, Tito's booked for Mecca and Natural Born Killers. Now, I might need a certain tag team match. And all of a sudden, who knows? You know, maybe we bring in Che for that. You know, we're still trying to finalize things. You know, I'm waiting for messages. You know, I'm hoping maybe this one's from Josh Barnett. Nope. Not that one. This one's from the Silver Knights about meeting up about the thing we're doing with them April 10th. So,
yeah, I mean, geez. And again, you mentioned San Diego Seals Mania, which is a sweet little logo there. I think that's a great poster. And
All they need to do is make sure they put that FSW logo on there. Like,
right.
You know, hey, announce what it is. You know, you want to call it the San Diego Rumble? I don't, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. All right. No escape. You know, talking about mystery men, looks like Jay Vidal is also wrestling the Invisible Man until we find out who Bateman assigns to him. Man, are we getting to the point where you know, Bateman's ask is a little more than Jay is willing to put up with, because this is getting a little tense the last month or so, man.
Well, you know, Bateman is obviously playing some mind games with Jay Vidal. And, you know, Jay agreed to it. And sometimes you got to read the fine print. So, you know. So Jay Vidal has to fly from Florida for this kind of treatment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm assuming he gets a spot on Bateman's floor when he stays over.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Right. Brittany puts her title on the line against Samaya. And, you know, I would assume that, you know, MK is really looking for gold there with Zamaya potentially being able to take the title away from Brittany. That's a pretty...
Tell you what, they're definitely, if you look at the FSW women that we have in the mix right now, this is probably the marquee matchup. You know, Zamaya has been killing it. Brittany, since she's gone to the other side, she's been killing it. This is definitely two of the top West Coast female wrestlers in the business today. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, you know. And Zamaya might have that little edge just because, you know, both women are going to do whatever it takes. They're not above, I guess you could say, cheating to win. But
right.
But Zamaya also does have MK at ringside.
And right, but does Brittany not have a commissioner now?
She does, but I don't think Chris gets involved, you know, in the...
Well, here, okay, all right. Hear me out. I've watched wrestling long enough. You've watched wrestling long enough. And we know that a guy like MK might do a little something shady to cost Brittany the match, but if you have a second pair of eyes back there who can literally come out and say, no, 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 come on, Joe. I mean, this is just wrestling 101, man. She's got an advantage.
Man, no doubt about it. But if we're going by, you know, whatever the referee's decisions are final, you know, that, you know, as you say, there's a lot of gray area in wrestling. So it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. That's why it's an interesting dynamic. Both of them have definitely become non-fan favorites. So the question is, will they side with Brittany, who somehow got people to cheer SOS, which we didn't think was going to be possible. So Brittany really turned her back on the fans, while Zamaya never really had the fans in her corner to begin with, and she didn't care. And then being with MK, he's one of the most hated people. So this could be a match where, you know, maybe they hope that both women beat the crap out of each other and they don't care who wins.
And I mean, if Zamaya walks out with the women's championship and then, Duke walks out with the FSW championship, MK is, celebrating in his golden high tops, because that's two of the biggest accomplishments that he could have, you know, under his belt. It's like he's been chasing gold, you know, and he's had his moments. You know, some of his guys have had his stuff. But, you know, these are two big titles for MK to have under his, you know, control.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, big night for MK, you know, almost bigger than the night that he scored Missy Hyatt. So, you know,
who will be all over WrestleMania week with a lot of different appearances. It looks like getting hooked up with, which is awesome to see, man. Missy is just one of the nicest around, still just one of the best. And how
I saw the WrestleCon listings, man, if you're a fan of women wrestling, there's legends, there's, you know, current, there's going to be a lot of them signing, and obviously the market is strong. I saw FSW's own Brittany, Gypsy Mac, who's now available again, ready to roll, Fallon Gray, who has really taken off since she's come to Vegas. So, you know, Layla Gray is going to be there with the torn ACL. She still hasn't had surgery. So, you know, it's probably going to be a while on that. Yeah. It's very disappointing. But, and, you know, Zamaya will be there. So we got a lot going on. We're working with the Title Match Network. They're going to be doing the show on the Thursday night after the ID showcase that we're hoping that there will be an announcement about another FSW wrestler who we've gotten the inside information that we're not going to release anything yet. We'll let that person do it, but we do have a minimum of one ID wrestler from FSW in the new batch. So
nice. Nice. So, Brandon G finally got his opportunity, right? Yeah.
That would be nice.
Worked his ass off, man. or maybe that's where Beans is. That's
maybe.
Beans, mysterious.
The Rock's trying to come back, and instead of paying Travis Scott, you know, $2.1 million to show up, you know, they could pay Beans $1 and he'll show up.
Oh, man. Showing up, mariachis, suavecitos, you know, I'm assuming G Sharp is the main event, defending that title against.
Yes, this will be the semi-main. Escape the Cage will be the first cage
match. Yeah.
Tornado rules in this one, by the way.
Okay. And I just can't see if the mariachis win. I would see a celebration that goes on for, you know, quite some time, man. These guys are so over. The fans, you know, really want to see these guys not only win the titles, but take care of the suavecitos, because the suavecitos are so, you know, hated, I guess, is, you know.
I'm not sure if they're as hated as much as they used to be. I've noticed that, you know, they're very good. And there's people who like really good wrestlers. And I think since they've seen them from when they started, there's a lot of people, despite not caring for them personally, really respect what they do. And there's people we've seen cheer them at times because, you know, they're an exciting young tag team. So, you know, it's definitely a big time match. You know, tornado rules and, you know, semi-main event. Here are guys that, you know, I remember the mariachis excited about their first match on the New Year's show.
Right.
And basically their family and friends was probably 50% of the attendance.
Yeah.
You know, and now they don't sell nearly as many tickets. But you would think they did, because the response to them is just through the roof.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the most organic, you know, reactions, I think, that you could ever ask for as a wrestler, right? You know, you look at the fact that the one thing they had from the beginning, and we can probably point it towards the fact that they've been entertainers pretty much their whole lives, right? So you could be green as hell as a wrestler, but the charismatic aspect of what they bring to these characters is just undeniable. And you know, as they develop and get better and in better shape, and you know, you can't deny that these guys could potentially, you could see them wrestling, you know, for AAA or for NXT or AEW at some point. Because the other thing they got going for them is these guys are still really young, which is mind blowing. when you look at, you know, young in numbers, age wise, and still young as developing wrestlers. It's
and they're doing the power slap, so they're getting a another type of fan base for that. Now maybe the people that like them on power slap and they come watch them for wrestling too.
It's,
you know, they're building a brand, and you know, in 2007 that wasn't that big a deal. In 2025, 2026, building a brand is everything in this business, because there's so many more people trying to get into the business. And how do you differentiate yourself? And it's like, you know, look at the tag division. You got the Suavecitos. They're kind of that street gangstery type. And the Mariachis, they're also of Mexican descent, but they're the Mariachis. You know what I mean? And then you got the First Responders. And then you got Greatness and Tenacious. And you got, you know, all these different teams that have come through the pike that because we have a lot of tag teams. But again, it's standing out in what you do. The women's division, you got, you know, you got Brittany, you got Gypsy, you got Maz, you know, you have Fallen Gray, you have Layla Gray, and you got all these women, Alice Blair before that. They all had their own identity, their own status, hair color, look, style, you know, the color of their gear. And it's really become that. Which was funny because when I went to China with the OWE stuff, and everything was emphasized on the individuality, and it was like American Idol, and it's the voice, and it's characterizing yourselves and making your brand be more important. Because back in the day, it was like you kind of needed a spot to fit in, and. Yeah. And now it's the identity. You know, Bret the Threat's got his crew, and it's a lot of crews, a lot of factions, you know. And I like it because, you know, it gets people. For example, a month ago, 2 months ago, you know, nobody would ever thought Gabe Rocha and Colin Muldoon would be in a title match at No Escape.
Right.
You know, these were two guys that were, you know, starting to get featured on Future Shock. But an opportunity occurred with the return to Bret the Threat, who decided he needed some henchmen.
Yep.
And Gabe Rocha has been very, very impressive in his short time. Colin's got a lot of skill. Young kid, probably 19, 18 still. But he needs guidance. And Bret the Threat saw a lot of himself, you know, in Colin Muldoon. Young, bratty, arrogant, you know, thinks this shit don't stink. And, you know, Colin was that kid who I'd have to yap at all the time at training. And, oh, yeah, oh, check out. Oh, you need to rewatch my match. No, bro, you need to redo and learn shit. And pay a fucking attention. You know what I mean? But that was similar to Bret the Threat early on. And Bret has grown. And hopefully having the right mentor. So now hopefully Colin has a mentor that makes him take the straight and narrow. And you know, you need that arrogance. You need that little bit of an ego. But there becomes part of ego over delusion. When you're not good enough and you're delusional, you rub a lot of people the wrong way. When you go out there and you produce and make yourself like, yeah, he's kind of a dick, but he's really good. If we can just kind of make him understand how to do a little better business, other companies. And it was funny because, you know, when you would hear of the Suavecitos and Bret the Threat, like they'd go to Dom and they'd be wonderful. Of course, because they were going to somebody else. They get too comfortable sometimes in their home surroundings.
Sure.
And, you know, now all of a sudden we got Colin Muldoon could be the Nevada State champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of opportunities, you know, because generally No Escape's not a show that we're not having a battle royal. We're not having a rumble. A rumble has 30 guys. A battle royal has 20, 25 people on it that normally would not get to participate other than doing ring crew and security at a casino show.
Right.
And now we have a six-man scramble. We have a four-way elimination match. And we have a gauntlet match. So those are, and then we have a tag title match. Yeah. So those are four matches that have a minimum of four people on it. So you're talking four, six, and another four, whatever. So that's already 18 people. And then we got a 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So there's 45 people on it. So usually I say, hey, we got 40 people for 25 spots. Well, now we got 60 people for 40 spots.
Yes.
Because we really have 60 people for 25 spots, obviously, by looking at this card.
Yeah, it's freaking mind-blowing. It really is.
Thank God I don't pay for catering, you know what I mean? You know, it's bad enough to the fee I got to pay the Silverton.
All right. You know, I would look at some of them, you know, some of the boys having to pay you a little bit, you know, just to lay some.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of right. You know, Damon A should be paying me to be on the show.
but you look up and down, and again, it's crazy how solid this card is. You know, we've said it in the past, but there are glaring names that are usually on a casino show that aren't anywhere to be seen in terms of, you know, your Remy's, your Mods.
Yeah, Matt Vandegrift still hurt. Damian Drake's not on this one. Bateman's not scheduled to wrestle unless he makes himself the mystery opponent.
Right. You know, and then you look at, you know, some of the guys that will be in San Diego, like a Hammerstone, you know?
Oh, yeah. Bryce Satter not on the show. Damian Desire not on the show.
Yeah.
Danny Limelight not on the show.
Yeah.
Graves not on the show.
Yeah. It's just, again, unbelievable how deep the talent is. And
TJP, here's a guy, you know, we made arrangements. He's now one of our main trainers. You know, and the thing is, it's like moving forward, we will be doing our pay-per-view type show instead of every 3 months, back to being every month. So the idea is, you know, obviously March 8th and 29th, like last year in March, we had No Escape and the Chris Bay Show.
Right.
And then WrestleMania. Now this year we have No Escape and HyperX. And then Mania, and then in May I'm starting to put together the rest of the schedule for May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, and we're going to do 8 casino shows, and we're going to make it affordable, and we didn't raise the price over at the HyperX, and you know the prices are pretty much the same, but you know, and the same thing for Mania, our regulars. You know, because we obviously got to raise the price. It's Mania week. You know, Joey Janela is charging $200 for, you know, his front row. We're not going anywhere near that, but we can't do with the talent and everything we're doing $45. You know, so we've raised the price. But our regular fans, if you go through me and you're going to go to Mecca and you want to go to, you know, Natural Born Killers. You know, the idea is to give you guys $10 off each ticket. So if you're bringing a party of four for those two shows, you're saving $80. So, you know, I'm trying to make our fans be able to also enjoy Mania Week. But we also understand the costs, You know, I hit up Rhino and I'm hitting up all these name guys. And this is a Mecca where it's usually more money anyway, because it is the Mecca. And, you know, this is a show that's going to feature some of the biggest names in wrestling that are going to be out here. So, but we want to make it to where our fans don't get shut out, because they're always going to be the ones, regardless of what the show is, they're going to get first opportunity to grab tickets.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's a big one coming up this Sunday, but Ground Zero then will be on Sunday, March 29th at HyperX, which, you know, again, is just crazy to think that, you know, you got one coming up this week, and then a couple of weeks later, he got that. And like we said, too, you know, the San Diego gig in between, essentially. Man, it just, it never stops. Full Tilt, you know, that, man, look at that, that Thursday. It's crazy how back to back.
Yeah, Multiplicity. I need to be in two places at, you know, at the same time.
How does that work for Rocky in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, everything is going okay?
He'll be most likely at the HyperX. You know, he doesn't need to be at the school. The ring's already there. But we are going to be changing some things out. We just got another ring. So we got a 16-foot ring. I talked with Brett at GCW. So Tuesday night, we're going to be setting up the ring that's always on the trailer that we'll be using for the Silverton on the 8th, that will be going to the Horseshoe for the Collective, because he prefers an 18-foot ring. Sure. Well, we prefer an 18-foot ring. So we now have to take the 18-foot ring out of the school and replace it with the 16-foot ring for Mania. So since they're smaller shows, they're going to get the 16-foot ring, and we're going to move our ring from the school over to the HyperX. Because, you know, we're gonna have some big boys in there. We don't need Kevin in the 16 footer, so he'll be in the 18 footer. So you know, and that's how that's gonna work, because we're trying to be handling everything. Also, one idea is, oh, by the way, you know, we've made the pitch to HyperX to go to the Luxor and say, I understand Luxor, they have to okay everything, but they're really not a part of anything that we do together with the HyperX.
Right.
But trying to make the Luxor be aware and understand that announcing on their marquee for all the people walking up and down the strip that are pro wrestling fans, that there's events inside their casino that they can get benefits from. Yeah. And Friday and Saturday, you know, the biggest name to be released in WWE in the last year, and maybe a Matt Riddle, are also going to be inside your building for some major events.
Yeah.
It might be wise to maybe pop it on your marquee and let people know, hey, Full Tilt, pro wrestling shows, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which now drives more foot traffic to their casino, which now in turn makes FSW have more people. Big Swag.
Hey, what's up, Swag? Man, Brett, we miss you, man. Miss you.
Yeah, I saw Tom Howard the other day. He was there with Lacey, and she's trying to get back ready in shape. You know, you better tell that Tom guy he's been owing me a sushi dinner for like, oh, we got to go. It's like, dude, you're been telling talking me every to Tom. Week.
Same thing. We got. We'll have to. Yeah, we'll have to hook that up, Joe.
He's got a new place. Tom said, "I got a new place. Yeah. It's the best one yet." He said.
Yeah,
well, I was disappointed there. I didn't see. Usually, I look forward to RVD bringing the support dog, and Tom and Lacey always bring the little husky. It's like a mini husky there, dog. I don't know if it's gotten bigger or it's just a mini husky, but the mini husky was not on hand for the training today.
Man,
it's a good dog.
And Schwag, man, if you're in town for you know, anything, hey man, always
love. Yeah, him and Alcatraz, really. One more time. Natural Born Killers, him and Alcatraz.
Tom always offers sushi. It's so true. Oh man. Man, this is you know, we covered Wednesday and Thursday, Friday. Again, more action at the arena, and then of course at 10 p.m. will be Mecca 11.
We got that open spot at 8 or 9 o'clock. I one of the best spot times available, even though, you know, we're going to be at 10 on Friday. It's a good spot for somebody at the FSW arena if they want to pick up any time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or maybe even an 11 p.m. late night show.
Definitely.
Maybe midnight, yeah, because we got Mecca, so, you know.
Right. And then, of course, you know, Saturday at 10 is Natural Born Killers, and Sunday at 12 is Spark. So, and that's the second one that they're doing.
And we're looking to lock in Sunday at noon at our facility at the arena. Second wrestling, they're just waiting on some stuff. Hopefully they're gonna confirm this week, which would give us 15 shows total this year.
Wow.
Jeez. And we're still looking for a couple more. Oh wow, Kingman. Yeah,
that's cool. I didn't know you guys moved. And well, happy anniversary too.
Well,
just had an anniversary too.
What he should do is go to Laughlin and make a deal with the casinos. I'll cut you in, Schwag. And I know the last time they did something in Laughlin was the UPW debacle. And because of the fights and all the other shit, they didn't do the wrestling anymore. I remember Alcatraz telling me that story. Yes. I think it was something with bikers and things like that. And there was like a fight in the I don't know if it was Don Laughlin's spot. Or I remember there was a wrestling thing years ago there. And it got kind of canned. It was probably like Hardcore Kid and all those guys brawling or some shit. But yeah, you know, get us in Laughlin. We'll be more than happy to do a casino show there. Big Schwag makes his return.
Yeah. It's, yeah, man, just good memories, man, too. Just amazing. Again, Mecca 11, that's going to be Friday, April 17th. The ID Showcase, and look at some of the names already announced, including the ID champion, if he's still champion, by the time we get to Mania weekend, Cappuccino Jones.
Well, I want to see Bodie get that match. That should be the ID Showcase main event. It should be against the Young Prodigy. And then he scores the upset, and he becomes ID'd right then and there.
There we go. That'd be nice.
You know, I got Romo as the ref. We can do the Sin City screw job, brother. He starts flailing his arms. Cap. He puts him in the sharpshooter. I saw Bodie working on the sharpshooter. I think that's going to be the plan.
Oh, that's amazing.
Gabe's going to go crazy in the HyperX suite.
Oh, and well, you know, again, though there is going to be an enforcer there in Timothy Thatcher. So, any screw job happens, I'd hate to see Bodie come face to face with that man.
Yeah, yeah, I ended up messaging him. I got his number through Gabe. I was going to see, obviously, he would have been a perfect addition to Natural Born Killers, but he is going to be occupied that night. So gotcha. He is unavailable.
Well, at least if you go to the ID show, you'll get to see him there, and that's pretty pretty.
Yeah, good,
cool.
Good dude, Thatcher.
Yeah.
One across his first big matches at the Silverton.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that match was universally hated or universally loved. The regular fans were not big fans of that match. because it was similar to the Natural Born Killer style, and it was right. It was really one of those technical grappling matches.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's amazing how far that's evolved to in terms of the acceptance of that now, with the wrestling fans being more into that style. And I think,
yeah, and you know, you talk about a small world. I was talking to TJP yesterday, and then he was saying something because we're talking about Natural Born Killers. And I presented him the idea of how does the MMA community look at that show and say, because I always pitch the idea of a tag team match. Because right. It's totally out of the box, something different. And he goes, you know, I was going to hit up Josh Barnett because that's one of his mentors too. And right. He goes, yeah, you know, I want to talk to people in the catch wrestling community. I'm like, oh, you're part of that? He goes, yeah. So on May 3rd, there's a guy named Jake Shannon who's a big deal in the catch wrestling, scientific wrestling. You know, he's got like 200,000-300,000 followers on YouTube. They're doing an event at the school that they just want to film some stuff. And they're trying to put together like a sizzle reel, and they're going to do some matches and things like that. And then I hit up TJ and he's like, oh, yeah, that's one of my mentors also, blah, 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 blah. And so I got to hit up the Jake guy because we were talking about doing some things, but with the scientific and catch wrestling, he was going to pitch those ideas of the idea of, I thought like would be cool, would be like a tag team match.
Yeah. So that's, guess,
you know, try to do something different, try to be innovative, but I don't want it to be like something that's frowned upon that it, you know, makes it look like a farce, kind of right. Like when people talk about the Jake, you know, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, that they right. Swear it has to be fixed, and it's all, it's, you know, we're trying to do things that expand the market and is good for the community and for that community and things like that. So we don't want it to be, you know, seeming like we're shitting on that right. That particular type of format. So trying to be respectful.
Taking that approach to it is, you know, putting the care into something where, you know, a lot of times people will just do it to do it and to, you know, put it out there and to get buzz and to have people even shit on it just to get traction. So I think that, you know, again, you don't want to put any of the guys in a situation making them look like they were put in a bad position. And then also the nice thing about pro wrestling is, you know, who knows, you could have a match like that and, you know, you can kayfabe certain things that, you know, make certain things look even more heated because of the fact that, you know, it was a new thing and maybe something went wrong and someone got pissed at someone. And yeah, there's so much more now that you can do with ideas. And I think that's the coolest thing about this day and age is that, you know, everything that seems to have been done, when you try something new, you can still put in those aspects of old things to then further it even higher than the initial thought of what this could be, which is crazy to think that you can, you know, you can take something and make that masterstroke right in the middle of it and no one would see that coming. And then all of a sudden it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, you know, it's kind of, it's that reinventing the wheel thing. Like, oh, yeah. what can you do that's the different, but it's still the same. And, you know, yeah. That's why I was like, okay, trying to make that concept work in that yeah. Atmosphere because, you know, bottom line is we got all the talent in the world that can make it happen. You know, I can call up Tom Lawler and he can come to the school and we can discuss things. And we got TJP right. And it's like, wow, there's two great guys there. I can get Cross on the phone yeah. And people he knows. And yeah. It's just like, you know, we talk about it, but after 17 years, there's just so many things and so many connections that are going on.
Well, and so many, this is the other thing that's, you know, now being taken advantage of way more than it used to be 20, 25 years ago. And that is so much more collaboration of genius minds, man. You know, it's amazing that you can pick one thing from someone and then, you know, this guy standing right there goes, wait, what if we tweaked it just this way? Just, it's a crazy how the collaboration works now in terms of ideas and people being able to bring certain things that maybe they couldn't have spoke up 25 years ago because it was so, you know, tight knit, that only a few people were making decisions in each, you know, promotion. And it's just crazy to see the collaboration now.
Yeah, you know, and I've been at the forefront, like when GCW came to town, like, hey, this is what I'd love to do. And it's, you know, there's talk of before we're talking with GCW about maybe do something at the arena because they're going to be in L.A. on April 4th or 5th or something, and talking about doing something and trying to secure some FSW people. And they're looking to do a smaller spot and not have to do the Nugget or whatever because they got Mania coming up. But they're, hey, we're going to be in L.A. on the Saturday when maybe we stop in Vegas on the Friday, because they haven't done a non-Mania show in a few years.
Yeah,
I think the last thing they did was when they worked with us and we did FSW GCW 2, which was a huge success. And that was when we had Janela versus Hammerstone.
Right.
And that was a great night, you know, and, you know, I know their fans are rabid. And, you know, the reason we ended up doing it was because we ended up using Jordan Oliver against Hammerstone just at an FSW show and used a couple of their guys. And it got over really well with their fans. And we saw the kind of like football game hometown advantage, the home team advantage. And I was like, man, if we do a show together, you know, it really elevates us to that GCW level, because we're trying to get on everybody's radar, not just Vegas's radar. And each year we continually move the needle a little bit. And now that the perfect storm, Mania comes back for year two, Cross is no longer a part of WWE. So now we secure him. And, you know, we were talking. And there's companies that are going to be here on Thursday and Friday that Kevin works with. Guess what? He's not doing those shows. You know, he told me that, you know, he wants to make sure if they can see him Wednesday and Thursday at the other places, well, how valuable is it whether his name's behind the Friday and Saturday show? And I couldn't stop him from doing it, but he chose, for the business wise, to focus on our stuff. So if you want to see Killer Cross wrestle, you can go to WrestleCon and meet him. But if you want to see him on shows performing, you can only do it with us. And, you know, that's huge, huge for us.
Well, and that's, you know, going back, like you said, the brand that, you know, Kevin is one of the smartest guys in terms of how you brand yourself. And he's no idiot. It's like you decrease your value by putting yourself out there before the bigger stuff. And, you know,
yeah, it's like the local wrestlers just working every local show in town. I get the idea that you need the reps, but you have to pick and choose. You have to make yourself valuable. If you're working every show, your value becomes less.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I had this conversation with one of our younger talents yesterday. And it's like, oh, do you think I should pull out? And I'm like, okay, well, it's a female wrestler. So she's getting paid way more than one of our younger male wrestlers would be in that situation. I said, I'm not the person to tell you not to make your money because it's good money. I'm not going to deny that. But who are you working? What's the story? Are they even at your level?
Right.
And when you go in there and you're not at their level, just because you're being paid well, but your job is to put over their talent because it's their people and they're nowhere near as good as you, is that money worth the potential of possibly getting injured?
Right.
Not being able to do. It's like, you know, if somebody's trying to book you and they're paying you well, and it's like I saw Brittany Brooks got to wrestle Killer Kelly or something, and that's why she didn't pull out of the show to not do the HyperX show, because she was right. booked there already, and it was a marquee match.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I want you to pick our show because we're supposed to be your first priority, but you made a commitment and you're working a good match. If you're working some girl who has 4 months of training and it's her second match and it's just a match to have, well, right. that's probably the time that you pick our show. Right. But when they're bringing in named people and you're getting them, that's how you improve in this business. You know right. what I mean? It's like, yeah. if I really, really need you, then I will emphasize I really, really need you.
Yeah.
And most cases, you know, not necessary. You know, Duke Lawrence, he was booked for the Colorado Wrestling Connection, a company he works for a lot. Like, bro, we're doing some things. We're setting up for the match on Sunday. Kind of need you to be there. And he didn't have a match. So I'm asking somebody who doesn't even have a match on a show to make sure you're at our show. This is very important for me to have you at this show. Right. And that's the one thing that FSW has above a lot of other companies, that I can have people that are booked on my show that won't be wrestling that will still come to my show. And generally, that's not how it works in independent wrestling. If you ain't booking me to wrestle, I'm not just showing up because I'm a nice guy. They're going right. to want the full rate. And it's like, this is to set up things that we're doing. I need you there. You know, right. you're not getting the full rate. This is what we need. But if you want to be in a main spot in our shows moving forward, I can bypass you and go to somebody else. This is what I need. So, because a lot of times in independent wrestling, that's why it's card subject to change. Because so many people, hey, I got this going, I'm not making it, and then you don't see people. But we have a good amount of people that aren't booked to wrestle on the shows that are appearing because they feel a loyalty to FSW, but they also understand, because I explain it to them, what we're looking at doing moving forward. So they know that in 2 months this is going on, and there's a rhyme and reason for why I need them to be at a show that they might not be wrestling on. Right. And most of these other companies, most independent companies, are just running a random match that if you're on it, they'll just, it's plug and play. There's nothing yeah. going on. And we understood that from day one that storylines are the most important things. And people want to be engaged. Good matches are great. But right. not every match is a great match. But some mediocre matches have a great story and people are engaged in them and they're invested in them. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, say, WWE's problem, where people feel that it's a lot of the same shit, that sometimes they click and they were doing stuff with Bron Breakker and The Vision and people were into it. But then it's sometimes like, okay, let's go back to Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Like, what's going to happen on SmackDown?
Right.
I don't know. I personally think that Cody Rhodes either wins the belt and then Drew gets added into that match, or the guy, you know, whoever's supposed to be involved – Because who's Drew wrestling now? It's supposed to wrestle at Mania. Who won the
Orton.
Who? Orton, yeah. Orton. Okay. Yeah. So is it really going to be a singles match? You know, you keep hearing about Cody and you keep hearing about Jacob Fatu.
Right.
So Drew versus Orton. Sure, that's fine. I would do that and have Cody wrestle Jacob. It's another good match. Like, right. It doesn't all have to be. But it seems like they're somehow wanting to make this a multi-man.
Right.
And now, how do you make it a multi-man? Do you make it a multi-man because you have Drew lose the belt? I hope not. I think Drew should keep the belt, but maybe Orton gets involved because Fatu gets involved and blah, 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 blah. And then it breaks down into a four-way match. Not that I'm excited about it. But to get to Cody versus Drew, it's like, again, been there, done that. It's like, oh, at least it's fresh. It's Orton, you know. I think people are excited, and I think it should just be a singles match, and people will be excited to get one last Randy Orton run.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
But it's the story that's going to be told. I like the Punk Roman Reigns story. It's something we haven't seen in a while. They're both fantastic on the microphone. They both can lead things and talk shit and all this other stuff that gets you enthralled. My issues are like after I'm watching, okay, so they don't really know what to do with the Usos. They put them back as tag champs. And now it looks like Logan Paul and Austin Theory versus the Usos. Like,
right.
Does anybody really care about that tag match?
Right.
I don't know. So, you know, it's the story. And, you know, when you're telling the story and then you say, well, that $300 ticket's a $700 ticket. Well, yeah, and you're still going to get a lot of people to do it, but they want to have a reason to do it. I don't want to spend $700 for Metallica tickets. You know, I got another pre thing.
Yeah,
where you know pre-sale, and I had it for the other day, and it literally had two tickets. And as I went to, I hit the button and it was like, these tickets are no longer available. But there was only two tickets in the entire arena available for me to purchase. And the crazy thing was the tickets were only $138 each. I was stoned.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was like, wow, that's pretty crazy that it was that inexpensive because shit, I was going to try to buy four and then resell them for $700 because you probably can.
Right.
Because now the only other option is now you wait till kind of like show day, the day before, and now they got to get rid of them. And then hopefully you can get them for at least marked price because I think Metallica at the Sphere is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. All right. Final thoughts as we wrap up.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, it's like, man, you're forgetting all about because so much is going on. We have a huge event this Sunday and the numbers they're trickling. They're getting okay. Guys, some people reached out guy. We did an event where he just wanted the wrestlers and Kenny and Remy went to his house and it was the craziest thing. He hit us up. I thought it was a rib. This guy, John, that his mother passed and they were having a get together. And they basically wanted Kenny and Remy in gear. And she was a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So we did something and they showed up at like the, I don't know if it was a wake because it was, you know, she had passed. I don't know what it was. Right. It was a get together. And I hadn't heard from him. And then he hit me up and said, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I haven't messaged you back. Jaden Cole's the next co-worker of mine. You got four front row for Sunday still?
Wow.
And he sent me the money. And it was like, you know, but this guy, they paid well. And we had people show up. And it's like the numbers, we got them from the Silverton and mind-boggling, you know. So our last show there for sure for now, unless they change their ways. But, you know, had a hard time getting, you know, are we on the marquee? People haven't seen it. They swear it's on it. Okay. All of a sudden I get my email. And the email is like upcoming events, the Cumbia events on Friday. And it's like, no escape. on Sunday, and I'm like, hey, we made the email. All right,
you were actually on the flyer.
Yeah, I got the thing the other day, and I'm like, oh shit,
yeah,
this is the first time they've ever put us on the actual circular.
Yeah,
that they send to all their people, and then I went there because, you know, oh, we need the final payment, dude. I've done 50 shows there. I owe you $1,300. I already gave you $2,000. Like, it's Tuesday. The funny thing is, the $2,000 deposit that I gave them 2 weeks ago, they still haven't deposited it yet.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
What are you worried about? Like, am I beating you out of this money? You know, worst comes to worst, you stop me from running the show if I don't give you the money that day. Like, what the fuck? But it's just like, it's mind-boggling how it is. And it's like, hey, at least we got on there. And we've done – the last show did extremely well, but, again, it was crossed there. So we had a great walk-up. But it was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks to the numbers that we did at the through their website and the tickets that I've pre-sold, I already know that the venue's paid for.
Nice. Yeah.
So – good. Now we're only minus whatever the talent costs for the rest of the show, which isn't crazy because we didn't bring in any big name guys and stuff, but we had to rent the cage and, you know, things like that. So, you know, the cost is in the thousands. It isn't like it's, $800. You know, we got to pay people. But the idea is most of the wrestlers, you know, one of them has sold like, you know, 10 second row already. But I'm hoping... you know, mariachi's in a cage. They're going to sell some tickets. You know, Ice going to sell some tickets. And usually the wrestlers sell some tickets, plus the walk-up. And, you know, we got the Furman crew. Well, they reserve, but they still haven't paid yet. So that money gets incorporated in. So if we have a good walk-up, you know, hopefully we do turn a profit on this show. You know, initially it's like, you know, whatever. We're doing well. But it's nice to have shows that are always doing well. We've been consistent. We've been in a situation where the school shows have far exceeded what we expected. The Future Shocks far exceeded what we expected. And being this is the first casino show in 4 months, you know, hopefully, you know, enough people saw the marquee up and everything else that people that aren't our regulars are eager to see, you know, a really, really, really good show. So, you know, we look forward to a huge event.
Yep. There you go. And again, it is on this Sunday, and it's at the Silverton, March 8th, 5 p.m. here, local time in Vegas. Check it out on the Title Match Network if you're not in town or can't get out there. And until next time, everybody, happy wrestling.